Alright. Let's go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Going through this passage, really just thinking about what's going on in the world today, kind of what's going on in our lives with all this craziness, the everything shutting down, the quarantine of everybody, just the panic that's going around, the chaos, and just want to preach on the thought of, well, what do we do now? What now? And here in 2 Chronicles, it's laid out pretty clearly some instruction for us what we should be doing right now. So we'll start in verse 1. It says, "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and beyond, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, and the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all of Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face toward the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity, Lord, and the technology that we're able to meet together today, Lord. God, I pray that you bless this message, bless your word, Lord. I pray that it's a help, God, in this time of need, this time of anxiety that we have, Lord. The whole world's in disarray right now, Lord. And God, we just come to you, Lord, for some help and for some direction, Lord. And God, we pray that you just be with us, Lord. Meet with us today, each one of us in our own homes, Lord. It doesn't matter. We may not be together in the same building, Lord, but we're meeting with you, Lord, in the same spirit, God, looking for some help from you, Lord. So we pray that you'll meet with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so here we see Jehoshaphat is king of Israel right now, and he's a good king, and they're coming in to some hard times, some time of trouble. You got the armies of Moab and Ammon, and with them beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat at the battle. You got all these different armies coming up against them, and when the Jews first came across into the land of Canaan, they had an opportunity to take them out, and God didn't let them do it at that time. So here we see Jehoshaphat kind of crying out to the Lord, almost pointing the finger at the Lord that it's his fault that they're in this situation. We see in verse 10, it says, "Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit." So Jehoshaphat's kind of pointing at the Lord, going, "Look, what you could have taken care of this a long time ago." And God's in control of everything. He could have taken care of this this virus that's going around. He could have wiped it out months ago, years ago. He could have put a stop to it, when it first started. But for some reason, he's allowing this thing to go about like it is. So anytime there's a time of just angst or storms or anything crazy that's going on in your life, you just don't understand, it's a good time to stop and think, why is God letting this happen? What is he trying to show me through this? Because there's always something to learn from whatever the Lord's doing, however he's moving. And you got to try to figure out what the Lord's showing you. Now, here, I think it's pretty simple what we're to do and what we're not to do. And I think it'll help us in this time. We can't meet in church. You can't find bread or toilet paper in the grocery store right now. Shelves are bare. People are getting sick. People are dying all over the place. Well, what now? What do we do now? And it's pretty clear. If we look at starting verse 3, we'll see the first thing, what our natural reaction is the same thing Jehoshaphat did. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared. Well, that's a natural reaction. That's what usually happens. That's what's going on right now. There's a lot of fear and angst and just uncertainty of what's going on. Fear of getting this virus. Fear of it taking its toll on me. Fear of family members getting it. Fear of this lasting for months or maybe years. Fear of our world completely changing. There's fear of financial crisis. People are going crazy with the stock market, and there's all kinds of fear of losing your job. There's people left and right that are getting laid off right now because they can't work. Restaurants are shutting down right now. There's waitresses, there's cooks, there's people that depend on that job every week, and they don't have that right now. And that's a fear. That's a understandable fear. I'm not saying that just don't fear it at all, but that's the first thing we see Jehoshaphat did. He feared. But that's not, we shouldn't let fear overtake us. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Fear is going to be our natural reaction, but that's what our flesh does. And anything our flesh wants to do or does, we should fight against it. In John chapter 14, just for some context, in 13, that's the Last Supper. In the middle of the chapter there, he tells Judas, what thou doest, do quickly. So he goes off to betray him. And the Lord starts to explain to the other 11 that, hey, things are about to change. I'm about to leave. You're not going to be able to go where I go. And be prepared. Okay? Things are about to completely change. Your world's going to be thrown upside down. Now what? Well, he tells them in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. All right? Let not your heart be troubled. Fear not. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may you be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. And that's the advice I give you right now. In this time of trouble, this time of crazy, just chaos and uncertainty, let not your heart be troubled. We've been preaching the last month or so and teaching on your mind and things that you think on and things that go on in your heart. You got fear in your heart, fear in your mind. It's now you've been distracted. The devil's got you hook, line, and sinker. He's got you looking in the wrong direction. But the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because he's prepared a place for us. If worst case scenario, every single one of us gets this virus, we all suffer for a little while down here, we're sick, and then we die, but he's prepared a place for us. That could be our ticket home. You know, believe me, I don't want this to be the ticket home. You know, I want to go home, but I'm not in a big rush. I don't want to leave my family behind. I don't want to leave the church behind. But if this is it, let not your heart be troubled, because he's gone to prepare a place for us. There's a home in heaven waiting for you. There's a mansion with your name on it. If this is it, you've got something to look forward to. Let not your heart be troubled. He's prepared a place and he's planned a reappearance. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And there, and that where I am, there you may be also. Let not your heart be troubled, because he's coming back. Things might be crazy right now. It's going to be crazy for a little while. It's going to be hectic. It's going to be different. But let not your heart be troubled, because he's coming back. I don't know that this is, as I saw in some articles, that this is the pangs of the birth of the tribulation. I don't know if this is the forerunner of the tribulation. You don't see that. Anytime the Lord talks about sickness and talks about things here in the New Testament, it's usually in the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation. Praise God for that. But is this going to lead up to it? I don't know, but I'm still looking for the Lord. He's coming back either way. If this is something to do with the tribulation or come before, I don't know. But all I know is he's coming back, if it is or if it isn't. We can have some peace. We can let not our hearts be troubled, because he's planned a reappearance. And I like in verse 4, he's provided proof for that. Whither I go, ye know, and know the way. We know some things. He's given us some proof that he's prepared us a place. He's planning his return. In verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the proof. And then his word's the proof. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye believe on the name of the Son of God. He's given us proof. He's given us his word that he's coming back, that he's prepared us a place. So we really don't have a whole lot to be worried about, unless you're lost. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've got some things that should worry you. That's the biggest thing. Where are you going to spend eternity? And if you, without Jesus Christ, you have no peace. That's why you see the world in such a frenzy right now, in such a panic. because they don't have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. In Philippians 4, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. All right, be careful. That's not talking about having caution. That's being full of care. Be careful for nothing. Don't let something get you so worried that it's going to bog you down. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So don't be full of care. Don't be full of worry and anxiety right now. Let not your heart be troubled. You know what you do? You pray about it. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Thank the Lord for some things that you got right now. Let your requests be made known unto Him. And you can do that. The peace of God, which you have because you have Jesus Christ, you have the Prince of Peace in you, you're in Him, then you'll have some peace that the world won't understand. As they're going out and filling up the backs of their trucks with pallets of toilet paper, you can, you know, get your rolls out, be good for a little while. And they'll not understand that because why? They don't have the peace that you have. I believe Brother Eddie said when he was able to lead his friend to the Lord this week, that the guy came in and said, I don't have any peace. And you know what Eddie did? He showed him where he could find peace. He introduced him to Jesus Christ. That guy asked Jesus Christ to save him. He became a child of the King. And I pray right now, he's in his Bible from what I hear. And I hope he's getting some peace about some things. So there's some things he doesn't have to worry like he had to do a few days ago. Praise God for that. So true peace only comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can have that peace. We all have that peace inside of us if you're saved. So what's wrong? What's wrong right now? Some of you are worried right now. Some of you are worried to death how this is all going to play out. Well, in 2 Timothy 1:7, where does that come from? He says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That spirit of fear, that's not of God. That's a different spirit. That's coming from the devil. The devil sows that seed. He spreads that spirit to get in your mind, to get your heart troubled, to get you stirred up so you get distracted. So now your mind is on the wrong thing. He's got your focus messed up. Now the spirit, that spirit of fear, it's not of God. Go ahead back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now he said, Jehoshaphat feared. Well, fear is going to get you in trouble. That's where we usually start out when things go wrong, is fear. But you got to remember who's in control. Look at verse 15. And he said, talking about Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, he said, hearken ye all Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. They've got this battle. They've got armies coming up against them. They're afraid. And here, Jehaziel gets full. He gets the Spirit of the Lord upon him and starts moving. And the one thing God tells these guys, the one thing that he encourages them with, the one thing that he doesn't tell them, hey, I'm going to wipe everyone out. I'm going to do this. He goes, no, be not afraid. Don't fear. Put that fear away. Why? Because the battle's not yours. It's God's. You can't control this virus. We can't control. We can do what we can to prevent, you know, to keep ourselves in a good situation, or to try to prevent ourselves from getting it. No one wants to get it. I don't want any of you to get it. But, you know, we can't just be wrapped up in fearing that we're every step we take. We can't be in a bubble. We still have to live our lives. We still have to go places. We still have to work. We still got to do things. But God says, calm down. Calm down. The battle is not yours. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. All right, or the reason of this great virus that's going around. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not, and ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves Stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Well, are you saved? Well, the Lord's with you. All right, you don't have to be all worked up. You don't have to give yourself an ulcer worrying about the situation in the world today. Fear not. How do you do that? Look at verse 17. He says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Number one, set yourselves. All right, set yourselves. What's that mean? Settle down. Settle down. Establish yourself. Settle down. For an example, you look at one of my favorite chapters to go through for some illustration, Acts 27, with that storm, Euroclodon. Paul was in there. Remember, the storm was the worst storm anyone had ever seen. For two straight weeks, they couldn't see stars. They couldn't see the sun or the moon. They had to just let the thing go and let her drive. And Paul, when the angel of the Lord met Paul, you know what he told him? Fear not. Fear not. I mean, that's what will get us so off course right now is fear. He told Paul, fear not, and he said they all had to stay on the ship. If anyone got off the ship, they would die that way. So the men that panicked, the men that had fear, the men that were trying to do everything in their control to settle the situation, they were trying to get on lifeboats, and they were going to hop on them things and try to escape. And Paul told them, you get on those boats, you're going to die. Well, you know, we're in the point right now that this is out of our control. Everything that we do, as men, I know as a man, I try to fix the situation myself. When I'm in a strait betwixt, I try to figure out how to get out of it. Well, we're in a situation right here that we just got to trust God. We got to take our hands off and let her drive. Do what we can. You know, the old saying, God won't do for a man what he can do for himself. But there's some things we can't do for ourselves. And we just have to let her drive. And I think that's where we're at in this situation today, is we're worrying about it a little bit too much. We just focus on the wrong thing, and it's got us distracted. And if the devil can get us distracted, I mean, he's got us right where he wants us. That's the trick. So set yourselves. Number two, you see in that verse 17, stand ye still. All right, stand ye still. Let God be God. You can't fix this. So you just got to stand still. We're standing still. We're all packed up in our own houses. We're not going around. The term I hate right now, social distancing. I hate when the news comes up with something and then everyone's got to repeat it a million, billion times. But that's where we're at right now. We can't be around each other because we'll be spreading germs. But right now, we got to stand still. You know what happens when things are going bad? If there's an emergency situation, there's a car accident, and the police and the paramedics come up and to come to help. You know what they're doing? They're not running around frantic like a chicken with their head cut off. They have to stand still a little bit. They have to be calm, because that calm will help calm down those that are in the tragedy. More anxiety, more. Flipping out will cause more chaos, and it won't help the situation. So what do we need to do as Christians right now? We need to settle down a little bit. We need to set ourselves. We have to stand still, let God be God. In Job 37:14, the Bible says, "Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." That's a pretty good thing, some good advice we need to do right now. Just stand still and just think about how great God's been to us. How many things he's gotten us out. If he can save your soul, if he can, if he shed his blood and is able to save you, you dirty rotten sinner, if he can do that, he can handle this virus. He's the one that created this thing. So we got to just settle down and not be in a panic. I listened to a message last week. Brother Walker preached Panic or Peace. That's a good one. If you haven't listened to it, I'd recommend listening to it. It was a help. All right, panic or peace. Well, in Psalm 46, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen." Maybe that's what he's trying to do right now. Maybe he's trying to put the spotlight on himself. Maybe he's trying, since we don't do a good job of exalting him to the world, maybe he's doing putting everyone through this so he can get some glory, so he can be glorified, so he can be magnified. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So it's a reminder that we just need to be still, stand still, and not try to fix everything ourselves, and just let God be God. Let Him be exalted. We need to be the ones exalting Him. There in 2 Chronicles 20:17, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Well, God's in control, and He's the only one that can get us through this thing. So, just got to stand still and watch Him do the work. See the salvation of the Lord with you. He'll get us through this thing. He's gotten us through everything. And if this is your ticket home, glory to God, hallelujah, you're going home. All right, it's not the way you probably would choose to go, but you know, you get to go home maybe. But I pray that's not the case. Try to settle down. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Go back to verse 3. So what now? What do we do now? The world's changing in front of our eyes on a minute by minute basis. Well, the first thing we do, fear not. All right, fear not. And number two, look at verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And we got to seek the Lord. Look for the Lord in this thing. Anytime you're in a storm, anytime you're in the wilderness, anytime there's a pandemic going on, you need to seek the Lord. Seek His face. Find Him. You need to talk to Him. You see, he proclaimed a fast. Look at verse 4. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, you got to talk to them. You know, that ought to be instinctive. That ought to be the first thing we do when something starts to go wrong, is go to the Lord in prayer. But it seems like it's always our last resort. I know I say that a lot, but it, you know, I'm trying to preach to myself here. Why haven't I prayed more about this thing? Why didn't, you know, why worry yourself to death when all you can do is pray about it and ask the Lord to give you some peace in it? You got to talk to Him. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, that's where we are right now. We're in a time of need. And you know, we need some peace. We need some grace. We need some mercy. And you get that by finding the Lord. You seek Him. You talk to Him. You go before Him. You go boldly unto the throne of grace. That's a privilege that we have. That at the drop of a hat, at any given moment, you can call upon Him. He's going to answer. You know, some people you try to get on the phone, you try to call them, and they're only going to answer when they want to. It's hard to get, you know, some people on the phone, and you deal with people at work, or I deal with people at work. I know when I call them, they're not going to answer the phone. And you can send them an email, and you might get a response. It's going to be on their convenience. God's not that way. I thank God for that. He's not like us, that as soon as we call, as soon as we are trying to get a hold of Him, He's going, what's that? What, do you need something? And it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter. And the amazing thing is, He can do that for millions of people all at the same time. That's our God. Man, that's a hard thing to grasp. But how amazing He is. He can do something like that for us. And He's that powerful. And that caring. I mean, He's the God that spoke the universe into existence. He wants to hear from you. He's waiting to hear from you. Seek Him through prayer. So we need to seek the Lord through prayer, and then you have to remember Him. Look at verse 5. Remember Him. Remember who He is and what He's done for you. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God our Father, of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Well, that's kind of a strange prayer, isn't it? You think Jehoshaphat knows who God is? You think God knows who God is? O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Well, yeah, obviously all the answers to those questions are yes. That God is those things. He is the God of heaven. He does rule over all the kingdoms. He does have all power and might. Art not thou God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it into the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Yeah, he is all those things. Jehoshaphat's not praying to try to get those answers. You know what he's doing? He's saying that prayer to remind everyone else who God is. Yes, God is the God of our fathers. He is the one that got us out of Egypt and over into the land. He is the one that fought all these other kingdoms and gave us victory in these wars. God's the one that saved our souls. God's the one that can heal us. God's the one that can protect us. In a time like this, we need to seek Him and remember who He is. And remember what He's done for us. We have the tendency of forgetting of who God is and what He's done when everything's going good. You know, we just take it for granted that He's always going to be like that. And we're always going to get the blessings. But then a pandemic happens. Then people around us are getting sick. Then we're quarantined. We can't do all the things that we used to do. So we have to remind ourselves who's in control. Why? Because we forgot. When everything was going good, we forgot that God was the one blessing us. So what we got to do? We got to remind ourselves. Remember Him. We got to talk to Him. We have to remember Him. In Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright." Why? Because we're trusting in the right thing. We're not trusting in the president. We're not trusting the news media. We're not trusting religion or a preacher or doctors. We're trusting in the Lord. The Lord's got all this under control. Some put their trust in chariots and horses, and they're brought down and fallen. You're going to stay standing. You're going to stay strong because you've trusted in the Lord. You've trusted in the one, the only one that can protect you, the only one that can save you. In Jonah chapter 2, we all know the story of Jonah. When God told him to go out and preach to Nineveh, he ran off, got on the ship, and the storm came. The guys ended up throwing him off there because they knew it was him. Causing the storms, put all their lives in danger because of his rebellion. And he ends up in the belly of a whale. And when he's in the belly of the whale, he finally realizes, I should have listened to God. So he starts praying, and he says there, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple." Well, it's a little too late at that point. I know God answered his prayer, but man, you would have kept yourself from some trouble. You would have prevented some of that, those 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. I can't imagine that being pleasant. Could you imagine the smell of that place? Ugh, I mean, it's just gross. But Jonah said, "When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord." Well, you better remember the Lord before your soul faints. You'll save yourself some heartache. You save yourself some trouble. In a time of need, in a time of trouble, what do we do? What now? You need to seek the Lord. Remember Him. You got to look unto Him. Look at verse 12. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do." Isn't that where we're at right now? Neither know we what to do. What now? What can we do? "But our eyes are upon thee." Look to Him. Look at Him. Put your eyes on Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In Matthew chapter 14, remember what happened to Peter? When he took his eyes off the Lord, he's walking on the water. Him and Jesus out there walking on the water. And Peter had his eyes in the right place. But when he got his eyes off of him, that's when he got himself into some trouble. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid." There's that fear again. Getting your eyes off the Lord, you'll get your focus wrong. Then bring some fear again. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord Jesus, save me." Fear shifted his focus. And that's what happens right now. That's what's going on today. Everyone's in a panic. Everyone's in so fearful. It's shifted their focus. They're thinking on the wrong things. They're focusing on the wrong things. And what happens when you start to do that? You start to sink. You start to backslide. You start to get into yourself into some trouble. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Not to modern medicine, not to technology. We're looking unto the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. When you don't know what to do, when you're in a terrible situation, what do? You got to seek the Lord. You got to talk to Him. You got to remember Him. And you got to look unto Him. Verse 18. What now? Jehoshaphat bowed down his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Worship Him. What now? Worship Him. You know what worship is? Worship's you telling God what you think of Him. Here, they just got down, Jehoshaphat got on his face, him and the rest of the people, and they just fell down and started worshiping God, telling Him how great He is, how wonderful He is, what exactly was in their hearts for Him, how they felt about Him. Worship is something that God deserves. When we talk about worship, it's almost impossible to not go to Genesis 22, and then the law first mentioned. The first time the word worship comes up in your Bible, with Abraham going to offer Isaac up on the mountain. In Genesis 22:5, it says, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. To worship. For the longest time, I was taught and heard preached that that worship has to do with sacrifice. And that's what Abraham was doing up there. But worship involves, it's more than just sacrifice. More than that is obedience. True worship is obedience. In 1 Samuel 15, we see the Lord says, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. God's not interested in sacrifices. He's interested in your worship is obeying Him, doing what He told you to do. Saul, he saved all those animals alive so he could sacrifice them later. And Samuel tells him, that's not what the Lord's interested in. He wants to, He has delight in you obeying His voice. To obey is better than the sacrifice. If worship were sacrifice, then the Catholics would have things down pretty good. Right, we're in the middle of Lent, right? They're sacrificing. They're giving some things up. They do some things that they see as, I'm sacrificing this for this many days. Well, and they believe that's worship. Well, the Bible says if you're going to worship, God is a spirit, and because He's a spirit, we are to worship in spirit and in truth. Well, truth is this. You got the book, you got truth in your lap, so you have to worship according to this. My Bible says that the doctrines of devils is to forbid to marry and to abstain from meats. So they might think that they're sacrificing, but God's not interested in sacrifice. He's interested in you obeying His word, doing the things the way He told you to do them. So what we need to do right now, we need to worship Him. In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. That kind of opened my eyes reading that. That the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He has to look for people to worship Him. LeBron James doesn't have that problem. Donald Trump doesn't have that problem. Barack Obama doesn't have that problem. No, these musicians, rock stars, they don't have that problem. People just come and worship Him. But the Lord has to seek for those that are going to worship Him. Have you worshipped God lately? It's been a little over a week since we were able to be in church. We didn't have a service this Wednesday. We didn't have it last Sunday. So it's been about 10 days since we met in church. Well, you don't have to be in a church building to worship God. Have you worshiped Him during this pandemic? Have you taken the time just to tell Him how good He is and what He means to you? Worship Him. You know, that I think we put ourselves in a box thinking that we have to be in church or have to be in a service to be able to worship. You can worship God right where you are. Like I said, worship is you telling God what you think of Him. It can be quiet. It can just be you in your face, just whispering, and God can hear it. It doesn't have to be some loud thing. It doesn't have to be, this out in the open. It can just be between you and the Lord. But have you worshiped Him? What now? Well, we should be worshiping. And look at verse 19. The Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. All right. So point number four, what now? Oh, praise Him. We should be praising the Lord. So worship, like I said, is you telling God what you think of Him. Praise is you telling others what you think of God. That's a loud thing. That's something that is done. It's not quiet like worship can be. I heard a preacher say worship can be quiet because God can hear everything. Praise is with a loud voice. It said they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Look at this here when they built the when Solomon built the temple and that thing's been dedicated, they're getting ready to go in. They're getting ready to praise the Lord. And look at verse 13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals. You know, those are two really loud instruments right there. A trumpet. I hope none of my kids ever want to learn how to play the trumpet. Because that is not something quiet. We can turn the keyboard down. We can turn the piano down. You can't turn a trumpet down. That thing is loud. And cymbals, those are not quiet either. So here, the singers are going to be with the trumpeters and the cymbals. Well, singing's pointless if you can't hear them, so they had to be louder than that. They lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. You ever been in a service like that? When the music and the singing got to praising God, people are shouting, people are running the aisles, and it's just like a thick cloud in that place. Why? Because that's praise. That's the Lord getting some glory, some honor. Your flesh doesn't like that. Your flesh goes, "Man, I can't do that. That makes me feel stupid." You see kids at camp picking up flags and running around the tabernacle and I've been in services where people are throwing song books and it looks crazy. When we went down to the blowout back in 2012, that video's on YouTube, and you see people commenting on that, and a lot of it's, praise the Lord, that's awesome, but then there's some people that are like, "Oh, you guys are nuts." And yeah, that to the world that would be nuts, and to some Christians that would be nuts, because people don't want to act like that. People want to stay, they don't want to sacrifice their reputation instead of praising the Lord. We need to be praising the Lord with a loud voice. Lift Him up. What happened to our praise? What's happened to our praise? Where did our shout go? It's been a long time since we've heard some shouting in church. I think the devil's stolen that from us. He's taken that from us. And that's something that we're commanded to do, is to praise the Lord, to lift Him up. The walls of Jericho wouldn't have come down if the Israelites didn't shout. They were to march around for 6 days. They marched one time around that wall. On the seventh day, they marched seven times. And at the end, the trumpet sounded and they shouted. What happened to our shout? We got some Jerichos in our life that we're not overcoming because we've lost our shout. We've lost our praise. We don't praise the Lord like we used to anymore. We need to get that back. He deserves it. We're commanded to do this. We're commanded to praise Him. Look at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. You know, praise is something that God can't do for Himself. He can't worship Himself. That's our job. That's part of the reason why we're here, is to praise Him, to lift Him up. Look at Psalm 145. It says, David's psalm of praise. I will extol thee. That's talking about praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Look at chapter 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God. While I have any being, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to the earth. In that every day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is the Lord, his God. Look at 147. 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him from the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, and all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Look at 149. Praise, praise, praise. We're told to praise the Lord. It's something we're commanded to do. 149:1. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the tremble and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That's something that we're commanded to do, even in a time like this. When back here in 2 Chronicles, when they were in trouble, they praised the Lord. They worshiped. They praised. They didn't let their circumstances or the situation they were in hinder them from doing what they were supposed to do. Praise ye the Lord. Look at Psalm 107. So back there in Psalm 150, it said that singing is praise. Well, that's a great way to praise the Lord. You know what I find in my own life is that a lot of times I like to hear preaching. I like to hear teaching. And when I go up and down the road, that's usually what I'm listening to. And sometimes when I run out of something to listen to, you know, I'll put on some music. But I should be listening to that music a little bit more. Because every time I do, I get stirred up. And I think, man, this is good. And I get praising the Lord, singing those songs. Well, that's when you're singing, you're praising Him. You're lifting Him up. We have an opportunity to do that during the church service. So how is your praise? Are you, you know, just nice and quiet and praise ye the Lord, hallelujah? Or are you, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah? It's with a loud voice. Everything we've seen here is with a loud voice. Look at Psalm 107, verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. That's what praise is. And we should be praising Him, even right now. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Even right now. Even when we're locked up in our houses, we can't get out, we don't have any bread or toilet paper, what do we got to do? Praise the Lord. You got a lot to praise Him for. If all you can praise Him for is because the cupboards are full and everything's going good, and you don't have a very good relationship with the Lord. You need to praise Him for what He's done for you, what He's going to do for you. One day He's going to redeem us. He's going to take us up out of here. This vile body will be done away with. We'll get a glorious body like unto His. We got some things to praise Him for. What's happened to our praise? What's happened to our shout? Don't let circumstances or situations steal that from you. Here, back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, they got down and worshiped God. They got up and praised God. So now what? Now what? Well, fear not. Seek the Lord. Worship Him. And praise Him. Because after Jehoshaphat and the people did that, that's when they got victory. That's when God gave them victory. Look at verse 22. 2 Chronicles 20, 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Well, God gave them victory after they started to do those things. Not before. They didn't praise the Lord because they got victory. They got victory because they praised the Lord. That's how we're losing battles right now because we're not praising the Lord. We only want to praise Him when things are going great. When we want to, you know, lift up our hands and shout because everything's peachy keen and just honky-dory and everything's great. Well, true praise is when you can praise God when things are going wrong, when things are bad. And that's a hard thing to do. I can remember times just not wanting to praise the Lord and just, you know what, we do it anyway. And the Lord will bless you for that. And it's hard. The flesh wants to fight it. The devil wants to fight it. But when the Lord can get praise from you, when no one else is praising Him, when no one else would expect you to praise Him, that's praise. That's worship. That's glory to God. Now, not only did they get victory, but God blessed them afterwards. Look at verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and the precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were there, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. You want some blessings? Fear not. Fear not. Let not thy heart be troubled. Here, there's so much spoil from this victory that God gave them. They never even picked up a sword, never shot an arrow. God gave them the victory, and they get to reap the benefits from it. There's so much spoil there. There's so much stuff for them. Precious jewels, it says, riches, and that they stripped them off. They couldn't carry them away. 3 days it took them to get all that spoil. You looking for a blessing in time of trouble? Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't get caught up in the spirit of today. The spirit of today is fear. The news media, everyone wants you to fear, 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 so they can sell you something. So they can get you trusting in something other than God. That's what the devil's trying to do. You want victory? You want great blessings? Fear not. Seek the Lord. Look for Him. Talk to Him. Seek His face. Worship Him. Tell Him how good He is. What do we do now? Worship. Praise. Tell other people how great He is. In a time of trouble, in a time of panic. Why? Because that's unusual. That gets people's attention. That's what we need to be doing right now, worship and praising God, letting other people know how great God is. You know what we should be doing right now? What we should have been doing all along. We never should have stopped. This stuff should have never gotten out of routine. Part of the problem is what we have to do is when things are going good, when things are going right, this is how we should be acting. That way, these are the things we should be putting into practice. That way, when trouble comes, it comes natural. That stuff, we just keep doing the things that we were already doing. When training for like shooting guns, police officers and stuff, they shoot so many rounds. They have to shoot so much, get so much practice, that it becomes routine for them. It becomes second nature. That everything they do is just, it's all mechanical. That way when the real bullets start flying and the stress is on, it's not, what do I do? What, trying to remember the training, it's already natural. It's just what you do. So what do we need to do? We need to stop freaking out. We need to fear not. We need to seek the Lord, and we need to worship and praise Him like He deserves worship and praise from us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, God, we thank You for the time we get to spend in Your Word. God, I thank You again for the technology that You've given us, Lord, that we were able to do this, to meet together, Lord. God, I pray that You bless it. I pray that that people got some help from it, Lord. I pray that it'll be a reminder that we can worship and praise You no matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances or our situation. You deserve praise and worship. And God, I pray that something we'll do this week, God, more and more. And so it'll be a testimony to a lost and dying world, Lord. And we thank You again. Love You. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.